Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 222. This is an update on fascism and the black metal music scene, and also we're going to include satanic and other types of alternative religion. Now, let me stress that in this discussion about the black metal music scene, a fair amount of the discussion will be about musical figures who are not themselves black metal musicians, but who are very influential, chiefly a fellow named Michael Moynihan and also his group Blood Axis. Moynihan is not a black metal musician. However, he is extremely influential in the black metal milieu, and his fascist agenda and connections will speak for themselves. This is a follow-up to For the Record program number 211, a two-part series, and we're going to begin with an article from the Los Angeles Times of Thursday, March 30th of the year 2000, and this is about William Luther Pierce's purchase of Resistance Records. Pierce is the head of the National Alliance, the largest and most virulent American Nazi organization, and Resistance Records, formerly an offshoot of the World Church of the Creator, another American Nazi organization, is going to be specializing in, among other things, black metal music in order to reach out to aficionados of that particular genre. Black metal music is a particularly hardcore, satanic-tinged type of rock which has long used the lexicon and the imagery of fascism, and some of its acts are overtly fascist, and they're reaching out to people in that milieu. As I've said before, the black metal music scene is not fascist, but elements within it are, and they are trying to extend their influence. This is from, again, the Los Angeles Times of Thursday, March 30th of the year 2000. It's an article by Kim Murphy of the LA Times. It's Stateline Detroit and headlined, "Behind All the Noise of Hate Music," subtitled, "The author of the seminal white power tracts Turner Diaries is now turning out CDs with violent lyrics. He believes the recordings of obscure skinhead bands will win youthful converts." And skipping down, we read, "White power music is virtually the only kind that no radio station will play, no club will book, few record stores will stock." Skipping down, and I would add parenthetically, there are some radio stations that do play this kind of stuff, one in particular that I can think of. Skipping down, we read, "National Alliance leader William Pierce, whom human rights groups have identified as the most powerful and dangerous white supremacist in America, recently purchased Resistance Records and its accompanying magazine, setting up a warehouse and distribution center on his 350-acre compound in West Virginia. Resistance expects to generate at least $750,000 in CD sales this year. That money, Pierce says, can be funneled into the National Alliance's expanding political network and into development of new music genres that will subtly carry the white power message." Quote, "While it may appear to the naked eye that this stuff isn't very prevalent, it has worked itself into a number of different youth subcultures," said Devin Burghardt of the Chicago-based Center for New Community, which along with the Northwest Coalition for Human Dignity recently co-authored a report on the growing threat posed by white power music. And skipping down, "White power music," Pierce says, "must evolve into a, quote, much broader category of resistance music," unquote, "that could take in black metal bands with national socialist themes, traditional Germanic and Celtic folk music, and more." And skipping down here, the Glibe referred to as Eric Glibe, an ex-boxer called the boxer under the name of the Aryan Barbarian, who was managing Resistance Records, and also a fellow named Breeding, who's a former marketing director for Resistance Records. And we read in this LA Times article, "White power music," quote, "white power music is a cultural and religious expression of people who feel they are absolutely left out of the system and have banded together," unquote, said Vincent Breeding, a guitarist, concert promoter, and former marketing director for Resistance Records. Again quoting, "In the same way that black rap originally attracted black gangsters, skinhead music today is about nothing but fighting against the system," unquote. "But how can white power music move out of the realm of high-volume garage bands and into something more mainstream, the kind of music your sister might listen to?" Glibe said that Resistance is ready to make a major move into black metal music, an eerie satanic-tinged genre of heavy metal that was linked to a wave of church arsons and murder in Europe through the 1990s. A few of the leading black metal bands now have openly nationalist and racist themes. Their music often evokes the kind of pagan Norse and Germanic mythology that has become popular in anti-Christian circles of the American far right. Breeding said he has hired mainstream musicians, most working under pseudonyms, to develop a new generation of white power music in genres ranging from rock to folk to country with a more sophisticated message. And it remains to be seen just who some of those mainstream musicians are or what this more subtle type of white power music will turn out to be. Of Pierce's purchase of Resistance Records, we're going to read more in an article from the British Searchlight anti-fascist magazine. This is from the Searchlight's issue number 295 from January of the year 2000. This is an article co-authored by Nick Lowles and the aforementioned Devin Burkhart. It's headlined, William Pierce, the lead is, William Pierce, leader of the National Alliance and arguably America's leading Nazi, has begun to move into the highly lucrative music business. Earlier this year, Pierce's National Alliance operation bought Resistance Records, and Searchlight can reveal he has now purchased stock and band contracts from the Swedish music operation Nordland. And in part, we read of the following about the history of Resistance Records, originally formed by a fellow named George Bundy, better known as Eric Hawthorne, and originally an offshoot of the World Church of the Creator, one of whose members, by the way, went and shot a bunch of people, several of them fatally, in the Midwest in July of 1999. In this Searchlight article, we read, speaking of William Pierce, he was explaining to readers why he had decided to buy the music operation originally established by George Bundy, better known as Eric Hawthorne. Quote, in many of our people, that anger has nowhere to go, no direction, unquote, he added, again quoting, all too often we turn it against ourselves, and it leads to self-destructive behavior. We need to give a proper direction to that anger. We need to give it a constructive outlet, unquote. It is through this music operation that Pierce and his National Alliance, or NA, hope to dominate the extreme end of the U.S. white supremacist movement in the new millennium. Bundy and Mark Wilson, a fellow Church of the Creator supporter, set up Resistance Records in 1994. And remember that George Bundy, B-U-N-D-I, is also called Eric Hawthorne. We're going to hear more about him in a second. More about the early history of Resistance Records. Skipping down, the success was not to last. Actually, skipping down, Bundy was eventually bailed out of his financial mess by Willis Carto of Liberty Lobby fame, who ran the company through California-based Ashley and Judy Brown. Quote, Carto paid their bills through a shell company, Imperium Incorporated, says the Southern Poverty Law Center. Managing the show was Todd Blodgett, a former Reagan White House staffer. So the Liberty Lobby eventually financed Resistance Records for Hawthorne, and the fellow who managed that operation was Todd Blodgett, a former Reagan White House staffer. The Liberty Lobby is a domestic fascist and Nazi organization and one of the epicenters of the Holocaust denial movement. In For the Record Program 211, we took a look at the Abraxas Foundation. That is an industrial music genre, two of whose members, the aforementioned Michael Moynihan and Boyd Rice, are very influential in the black metal music milieu. Now, again, Moynihan is not a black metal musician, nor is Boyd Rice. Boyd Rice would be classified as an industrial genre musician. He does wield a lot of influence in the black metal scene. And the Abraxas Foundation, an offshoot of the Church of Satan, incorporating members of the Temple of Set, headed up by Lieutenant Colonel and former Army psychological warfare expert Michael Aquino, the Abraxas Foundation celebrates, among other things, the occultism of the SS and has overtly fascist connections. One of the members of the Abraxas Foundation, or part of the Abraxas milieu, was Keith Steinle, who was the editor of the Journal of Historical Review, which is the publication of the Institute for Historical Review, the world's number one, the leading Holocaust denial institution, and a part of the Liberty Lobby, for whom Todd Blodgett managed Resistance Records. Now, again, the Abraxas Foundation that we spoke about at considerable length in For the Record Program 211, by the way, including publishing guru Adam Parfrey of Feral House, the Abraxas Foundation is an offshoot of the Church of Satan. Research credit on the following article goes to Kevin Coogan, the author of Dreamer of the Day, subtitled Francis Parker Yockey, and the Post-War Fascist International, that we're going to read more about in a minute. This comes from The Black Flame. That is the publication of the Church of Satan. This is from The Black Flame's issue of Volume 6, Number 1 and 2. And this is a column about RAHOA, which stands for Racial Holy War, and Michael Moynihan. Not a column, but an article about RAHOA and Michael Moynihan. And we're going to talk more about Moynihan in a minute. But Racial Holy War is a group that was formed by Eric Hawthorne. And Eric Hawthorne is the fellow who originally started Resistance Records. And this was an offshoot of the World Church of the Creator. Reading now from The Black Flame, Volume 6, Number 1 and 2. Again, the publication of The Church of Satan of Racial Holy War and Eric Hawthorne of Resistance Records. His musical group recently released a CD, Cult of the Holy War, that could well climb right up the indie charts if it weren't for his thoroughly uncompromising yet extremely eloquent lyrics. Combined with neoclassical influences and inspiration from Ragnar Redbeard, it's an impressive piece of work that many Satanists would find inspiring, even if they don't completely agree with Hawthorne's platform. By the way, Ragnar Redbeard was the author of a book that we looked at earlier, some of whose notes were made by, some of the editorial contribution was made by Michael Moynihan, as well as Katya Lane, the wife of David Lane, a member of the Order now serving a 150-year prison term for murdering Alan Berg. Skipping down in the Black Flame article of Eric Hawthorne and his affiliation with Resistance Records, we read, After time, the frustrations of dealing with the poor leadership structure just got to me. I felt like I was sinking wasted energy into a losing venture. By the way, this is obviously Hawthorne speaking in the interview. So I politely resigned and eventually formed Resistance Records, the first ever pro-white or Eurocentric recording label in the world. So that again from the Black Flame, the Church of Satan publication about the early history of Resistance Records just bought by William Pierce. Now, the Abraxas Foundation was an offshoot of the Church of Satan, and a member of that foundation in the 1980s was Michael Moynihan, along with a fellow named Boyd Rice. We're going to hear more about Abraxas a little bit later. There is an interview with Michael Moynihan in a French magazine called Raven's Chats. This is basically a satanic publication. Research credit on the following goes to Kevin Coogan, again, author of Dreamer of the Day. And from Raven's Chats, we read the following in the interview with Michael Moynihan. Let's get back to the book Siege. Bob Larson invited James Mason to talk about the book, his political career, and other topics. You made an appearance in Neo-Nazi Satanism, the videotape Bob Larson produced of this show, with Boyd Rice and another guy. Is he Alfred Thomas, the guy who played with you on the split single? Has the book received other invitations from Tom Metzger's show, for example? After this book, have you other printed stuff in the works? What are the other forthcoming projects for Storm? Have you other plans of split singles with other bands? And then Moynihan replies to the question, the other person who is visible in the video is a friend of mine who wishes to remain anonymous. It's not Alfred Thomas. James Mason was invited to appear on 3 episodes of Tom Metzger's Race and Reason show. These are very well done and full of information about Mason's ideas and outlook. Metzger has also endorsed Siege on national TV here in America. Now, before we get to Tom Metzger of the White American Resistance Organization, one of the leading American fascist and white supremacist organizations, we're going to review a short section from Kevin Coogan's book, Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey and the Post-War Fascist International. This is published in softcover by Autono Media, and that they can be reached. Their website is autonomedia.org. And of James Mason and his philosophy, again, his book Siege, published by Moynihan's Storm Organization. Mason, a former member of George Lincoln Rockwell's American Nazi Party, created his own National Socialist Liberation Front, or NSLF, in the 1970s. Much like Moynihan and other members of the Abraxas Network, like Boyd Rice, Mason became enamored of Charles Manson. In Siege, Mason devotes a chapter to praise white racist lone wolf assassins who carry out attacks on racial minorities like blacks and Hispanics. To Mason, such acts should be encouraged as healthy outpourings of, quote, Viking berserker rage, unquote. So note Mason's endorsement of attacks by racist lone wolf assassins. That's exactly the type of racist attack that was carried out in July of 1999 by a member of the World Church of the Creator. That's the organization, one of whose members, Eric Hawthorne, spawned Resistance Records. I would also note that the concept of lone nut racist, lone nut assassin, sort of a Viking berserker violence, as it was put by Mason, is a manifestation of a type of occult worship of physical violence for its own sake, which is rather complex in its various details, but which in turn has been espoused by Julius Evola, an Italian fascist and occult theoretician about whom we had a fair amount to say in For the Record program number 211. Reviewing a passage that we looked at in For the Record program 211 from Kevin Coogan's Dreamer of the Day, of Michael Moynihan and Storm and some of its record releases, we read, "The CD, Cavalcheri la Tigre, from Ice and Licked Records, is part of Moynihan's plan to introduce the political writings of Julius Evola into the American far right. For this reason, Storm is now preparing to issue an English translation of Evola's Gli Uomini e la Rovini, or Men Among the Ruins." Now, note again another of the people who has been favored by Michael Moynihan, James Mason, and his advocate of racist lone wolf assassins as a manifestation of Viking berserker rage. This is a manifestation of a type of occult philosophy and worship of violence for its own sake, for metaphysical reasons, that was espoused by Julius Evola. Of Evola's pro-violence philosophy, we read in the aforementioned Dreamer of the Day by Kevin Coogan, "Evola glorified the Iron Guard and the SS as models for an ideal order, a male society carrying in their hands the principle of imperium and holding that loyalty is the basis of their honor," unquote. To the members of a group like Ordine Nuovo, the goal was more than political. Quote, "The aim is to strive," by the way, Ordine Nuovo was a key Italian fascist group that we looked at in For the Record program, in Radio Free America 19, among others. Continuing, "To the members of a group like Ordine Nuovo, the goal was more than political." Quote, "The aim is to strive for transcendence via a process of veritable ontological rupture, carrying the individual to supreme identity with himself, hence with absolute being," unquote. For this reason, Evola praised the Islamic idea of the dual war, the small material one waged against the enemy or the infidel, small holy war, and the great holy war, namely, quote, "the struggle of the superhuman element of man against all that is instinctive, passionate, and subject to natural forces," unquote. According to Men Among the Ruins, a man must especially love, quote, "the most destructive situations because being elementary, they offer him the chance to reach the stage that could be called the absolute being," unquote. So again, note some of the metaphysical significance accorded by Julius Evola, someone else being espoused by Michael Moynihan, of violence for violence's sake by various fascist groups or individuals. And again, note another person favored by Moynihan, James Mason, and his advocacy of racist lone wolf violence, rather like that committed by the former member of the World Church of the Creator, who killed a bunch of people in the Midwest in July of 1999. Note that Tom Metzger had James Mason on his Race and Reason television program. I mention this because some people who were practitioners of some of the racist violence that Tom Metzger and others have advocated was recently the focal point of a huge award by a civil jury in Oregon. There was an editorial describing the Supreme Court's declining of an appeal to reevaluate that verdict. The following is from the San Francisco Examiner of Monday, April 3rd of the year 2000. This editorial is entitled "Sicko Rights," subtitled "The Victim of a Neo-Nazi Murder Attempt Filed a Civil Suit to Punish a Skinhead Group for Encouraging the Hate Crime." And of the Supreme Court's ruling on this, we read, skipping down, "The Supreme Court has ruled that organizations can be held liable if direct advocacy is likely to trigger specific illegal acts. That's probably why the High Court declined to hear the appeal of an Oregon jury's hard-to-collect award of $12.5 million against leaders of white Aryan resistance and Ku Klux Klan leader Tom Metzger, although he was 1,500 miles from Portland the night there in 1988, that three of his skinhead followers beat an Ethiopian graduate student to death. This is one of many such actions brought by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Its official statement says, quote, One has a right to hate in this country, but not a right to lead others to hurt, unquote. That award is something to be noted, I think, by, among other institutions, radio stations who might be inclined to play some of this white power and racist music. It could wind up being a more complex artistry than they had in mind to begin with. Turning back to the Ravens Chats interview with Michael Moynihan, more about some of the people he plans to publish, Storm will release some other books in the future, although our main priority is to put out CDs now. We will publish some works of Carl Maria Villiget, Himmler's Rasputin in English translation. And of Carl Maria Villiget, we read as follows, once again turning to Kevin Coogan's Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey, and the Postwar Fascist International. In December 1937 and June of 1938, Abel lectured on his ideas to the German-Italian Society in Berlin. SS Brigadier Carl Maria Villiget, a focused fanatic also known as Carl Maria Weistor, was chosen by Himmler to evaluate Abel's theories. And more about Michael Moynihan, this is from a publication called Momentum, which also appears to be a satanic type of magazine. Research credit on this, as with the Ravens Chat article and the Black Flame article to Kevin Coogan. We read as follows in an interview with Michael Moynihan conducted by Momentum. Momentum, will you be releasing the songs of the Iron Guard? Michael Moynihan, I would certainly love to release the songs of the Iron Guard. Their music wasn't preserved in quantity, but in quality it is unsurpassed. They are some of the most moving anthems I've ever heard. I plan to ask the blessings of a living Iron Guard member for such a CD re-release of these songs, but time will tell if this comes about. The Iron Guard was a Romanian fascist organization allied with the Third Reich. We took a look at them in numerous programs, including For the Record program number two. We also took a look at them in RFA program number 37, also RFA program number 36, and in various broadcasts about the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization as well. We took a look at a pogrom that was conducted by the Iron Guard in Bucharest in Romania, in which hundreds of Jews were slaughtered, and many of those Jews were taken, slaughtered, and then hung on meat hooks in the municipal slaughterhouse with the sign Kosher Meat hung on their bodies. Note not only the espousal of the, quote, artistry, unquote, of the Iron Guard by Michael Moynihan, but note also that Julius Avila was also connected to the Iron Guard. And note, too, that rather like the metaphysical worship of violence that Avila espoused, and that was also espoused by James Mason, yet another favored by Michael Moynihan, the Iron Guard had a philosophy of long-lived death. Turning once again to Dreamer of the Day about the Iron Guard and Avila, we read, Avila's link to Romania was through an elite fascist sect called the Romanian Legion of the Archangel Michael. The Legion created a political party called the Garda de Fier, or Iron Guard, in the 1930s. Skipping down, the Legion of the Archangel Michael and the Iron Guard maintained links to some of the most extreme elements in Italian fascism, including Avila. Avila went to Bucharest in 1937 and met the Legion's founder, Corneliu Zela Codrianu, dubbed the Captain. The Iron Guard became the third strongest party in Romania that same year, winning some 478,000 ballots, or 16% of the total vote. With the growth in its political strength, there came Legion-sanctioned assassinations. Iron Guard, quote, death teams, unquote, were formed in April of 1936 to avenge the nation, unquote, and punish traitors and scoundrels who would exterminate the captain and his movement, unquote. Members of such units greeted each other with cries of long live death. And we'll have more to say about the Iron Guard in just a second. I've noted earlier in this discussion, as well as in For the Record Program 211 at greater length, the Abraxas Foundation, an offshoot of the Church of Satan, two of whose members, Boyd Rice and Michael Moynihan, are very influential in the black metal milieu, though not themselves black metal musicians. I've also noted that a member of the Abraxas milieu was Keith Steinle, editor of the Journal of Historical Review, the publication of the Institute for Historical Review, an offshoot of the Liberty Lobby, and the leading Holocaust denial institution in the world. Research credit on the following goes to Kevin Coogan as well. This comes from Wake, the official journal of the Abraxas Foundation. There is a pitch here which says, enter a brave new world of social Darwinism, primal law, resurgent atavism, blood mysticism, and much more. At last, there is a newspaper wholly devoted to exploring the darkest aspects of Ma and nature, with an emphasis on how to integrate them into your life and harvest their power as your own. And skipping down, in the premier issue features Long Live Death. That's the title of the article, Insightful and Inspirational Observations Extolling the Virtues of Destructive Force. And not only the verbatim cry of the Iron Guard, but also the philosophy of Avila, James Mason et al., and apparently people from the World Church of the Creator, at least the fellow who went off in the Midwest in July of 1999, is directly reflected in that particular article from Wake, the official journal of the Abraxas Foundation. Now, speaking of the Iron Guard, among the many people who was strongly connected to the Iron Guard and among the many institutions strongly connected to the Iron Guard was the SD, the Sicherheitsdienst, the SS Intelligence Service. And the SD's main man connected to the Iron Guard was Otto von Bolschwing, a key functionary of the SS's Jewish Affairs Department, an individual that we looked at in For the Record program number 216 and Radio Free America programs numbers 3 and 30. Otto von Bolschwing was one of the key expediters of Hitler's policy toward the Jews. He then became a key CIA and Galen operative in the post-World War II period. One of his protégés, Helena von Dahm, selected the lists from which all of Ronald Reagan's cabinet appointments and White House appointments were made. That certainly would have included Todd Blodgett, who managed Resistance Records when it was run by or financed by the Liberty Lobby, and again, one of whose functionaries was Keith Steinle of the Abraxas Milieu. Of the Iron Guard and their connections to Otto von Bolschwing, we read in Dreamer of the Day, the Iron Guard maintained excellent ties to the SD. By the summer of 1940, when Romania was solidly in the Axis camp, the role of the SD in Legion affairs became particularly pronounced. The key German operative in Romania, Abaron Otto von Bolschwing, had joined the SD in 1932 and quickly became caught up in both the Jewish question and the Mideast political situation with Adolf Eichmann. Once World War II began, Bolschwing was made the SD's man in Bucharest. So note again the close relationship between von Bolschwing and the Iron Guard, one of the many groups espoused by Julius Avila. In alluding to the Iron Guard's activities, I spoke about a pogrom in Bucharest. That pogrom in which hundreds of Jews were slaughtered, and many of them were slaughtered and then hung on meat hooks in the municipal slaughterhouse with the sign Kosher Meat or Carne Kosher hung on them. The fellow who led that particular pogrom was a guy named Valerian Trifa, who then became a key Galen operative late in the war, jumped to the CIA, became in time the Archbishop of the Romanian American Orthodox Episcopate. He was then selected by Richard Nixon to give the opening prayer before the United States Senate in 1955, and as of 1988 was working on the Republican Party's ethnic outreach organization on George Bush's election campaign. So consider some of these many connections. That concludes For the Record program number 222, an update on fascism and the black metal scene. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.